amazing responses and breakthroughs over the last couple of weeks with people coming into the light, walking into the light, bringing stuff into the light. And the Lord's just doing amazing, amazing things. And I'm looking forward to the 28th for the SOP and sharing. There's going to be, I believe, quite a few testimonies there coming from this, over the last couple of weeks. So I loved what Sean said on the men's morning 2 Saturdays ago. He said, we should almost be sinning in the light. And it got me thinking about when I was a little chokerki, my dad worked for Eskom, and we stayed in a small little town called Edinburgh. And in the evenings, we would sit in front of the TV, and when the lights dipped, he would get up and go get dressed, because he knew something's wrong with the power. He'll get the call now. And it was like that, always dipped, get dressed, get the call, go out, go fix the light. And it's almost like that when your faith dips a bit, when there's sin, to just get up and take action immediately, kind of sinning in the light. Yeah, love it, Sean. So 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to ask Ronaldo to just switch off the lights for us, and Oka to put up the picture. It is supposed to be a quite dark picture, but Theo, 2 Sundays ago, Hanley had a picture. She brought a picture to the front of, and what she saw was exactly this: a young man sitting at the desk with a light, and attached to his hands and his feet, and then to his head, his brain, and his heart were strings attached, and she could see the hands above. That's controlling all of this, like a puppeteer, controlling this young man as he sits. And at the back, you can see on his bed, there's the Bible, and it's glowing. It's glowing. It's like kind of trying to get this young man's attention. Okay, so this is the picture she saw. And what stood out for her was that this young man thought that he was in control. But actually, the hands above him is in control. That's what's controlling him. And when I went to ChatGPT and I asked him to draw us this awesome picture, it wasn't my artwork, no. I asked him to draw this, and when I first saw this, I thought, that's all of us. That's all of us sitting there, being controlled by something in life. Thank you. Thank you, Ronaldo. So we know what the right things are to do. We know we've been through the Bible, we know everything actually, but still we tend to do the wrong stuff, turn away. So at a stage, I was actually seeing this young man turning his head towards the Bible to with a real desire to read it, to get into the Word of God, and the strings just pulled him away. And that's life, eh? We get into life and there's stuff we want to do because we know we should do it, but then we get pulled away. And two simple examples would be quiet time. Whew. So I'm not a morning person at all. I'll sleep as late as possible. So it's tough for me getting up early in the morning. It's hard getting up early in the morning. Nog iemand? Thank you. Jesus, I'm not the only one. So I'll set my alarm for 5 o'clock in the morning because I'm going to have quiet time. And then the alarm goes off and I press snooze. It's only 5 minutes. And then it's like, I had a tough week. The Lord will understand. I'm going to sleep. Julle kan my amen sê. Yeah, that's what we do. And you know what that is? That's that little hand pulling you away from the Lord. Pulling you away from spending time with Him. Another teeny weeny little example is tithing. Ooh. So the end of the month comes, and we've got this lekker storm that hits George, first rain and then wind, or first wind and then rain, and like us having a tree that fell over, and there's some quite big scar going on. It's luckily not for my finances, but it was quite expensive. And now you need to fix that, but you need to tithe as well. Life happens. Strings pulling. And we know we should trust the Lord. So over the last few weeks, some strings have been identified and have been brought into the light. Some of it, we have immediate victories. It's like you bring stuff into the light, you've got victory and it's done. It's in the past, never to be seen again. But most of the times, we don't have that immediate victory. We bring things into the light, and you feel sure. You can feel the victory. You can feel the string has been cut. Sure, it's a lack of feeling. Eh? It's a lack of feeling bringing stuff into the light, and you know, sure, the Lord's grace, and you can feel His love. But just to discover a bit further down the line that this string has been reconnected again. And we wonder, why? What has happened? I've brought this into the light, and it's been dealt with, and I had the victory, but all of a sudden, very subtle, this little string is connected again. And all of a sudden, like that young man, you feel you're in charge, but you're not. Strings are pulling you. So when we bring stuff into the light, what's next? And this is kind of important. And I want us to open in 2 Peter 1, verse 1. We're gonna work through the whole chapter 1, bit for bit. So we're going to first do 1 Peter 1 to verse 4. And he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. So firstly, Peter is writing this letter to believers. He's writing it to people that knows the Word, knows the Lord. They are in the faith. So it's not newies. It's not people that still needs to come to the Lord. He's writing to people that knows the faith. And then a few verses on, he's talking about the Lord has given us His divine power to conquer. Verse 16, I quickly want to read you verse 16, where he kind of explains the power that he was talking about in verse 3. He says, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. So when Peter is talking about the power that has been given to us so that we can overcome these evil desires, they've actually been there. They've actually seen God's power in action. They walked with Him. So power. So we'll go on verse 5 to 8. So He's given us His power. to overcome the causes of the evil desires of life. So that also, he's given us everything we need to cut these strings. And not only to cut them, but to never get them connected again. Never get them reattached again. So verse 5 to verse 8 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess..." Well, let's just stop there, verse 7 first. So he comes and he says, this is how you do it. Lord has given it everything, but now he requires of you to do something. Make every effort. Make every effort to add these. Says that you and me have got a part to play in this. We've kind of gotten into a culture where we are a wanting generation. We just want. We want the Lord to just come snip it and take it away and just sit back. Amen. Yeah, that's what we've become. We've become complacent of, Lord, you just take it away. You just take it away. And that's actually not how the Lord works. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So if you want to break free, if you want to be free of this, if you don't want to get this ropes, this lines attached again, you need to make effort. You need to bring your part into this. And your part into this is by adding. So we've got the faith. We believe. We doesn't believe. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe He saved us. We believe in the power that He's given us to break free. So He says, add to your faith goodness. / virtue. Yo, I've learned quite a few new English words prepping for this. Goodness, virtue. So what is goodness? It's a trait or a quality that is deemed to be morally good and of value as a foundation of principle and good moral. Consistently exhibits behavior that is right, good, and honorable. The loving behavior we are called to display to one another. Oh, it's beautiful. Walking the straight and the narrow, in other words, our behavior towards each other. Goodness, being good to one another. So to your faith, you add goodness, virtue. And to your goodness, doesn't stop there, you add knowledge. So the next one, being knowledge. The awareness, understanding for information required through experience, education, or reasoning. It involves grasping facts, concepts, and practical skills. Build your knowledge through the Word of God and the body. So I love that second last one that says, it involves grasping facts and grasping facts, concepts, and practical skills. So it's not just head knowledge, it's do knowledge. It's that what you learn to put that in practice and actually doing what the Word says. It's not just knowing, but it's also doing. So to goodness, you add knowledge. To knowledge, oh, this is a difficult one. Man, adding self-control. This is tough. This is a tough one. The ability to regulate your emotions, thoughts, and behaviors in the face of temptations, impulses, and stresses. You, Lord, can't I just stop at knowledge? That's the easier part. Just learning from the Word and putting it into practice. But to self-control. The conscious willpower to require to override immediate short-term desires to achieve long-term goals or maintain personal and biblical standards. Sure, in the Strong's dictionary, they use the word appetite I wonder why. Self-control, appetite, yo. Sure, this is like, self-control is like a constant battle. Constant battle every day. And it's actually a battle we lose quite a bit. We often lose the battle against self-control. So this is one of the harder things that Peter is putting down here. But when we apply faith, goodness, and knowledge, you will find that there is power to help with self-control. So if you're kind of spending time in the Word, applying the Word, you'll find that it gets easier. The self-control thing gets a bit easier. Okay. Self-control. Ooh, tough one. Oh boy. If self-control is not enough, Peter had to come put in perseverance. So in other words, I must apply self-control, but I also need to keep on doing it. Keep on persevering, pushing through. Not only, it's hard. Can you see that it's actually hard work? Words coming to mind when hearing perseverance is consistency. Doing it consistently. If you're on that thing for self-control, to keep on consisting, pushing through with what you're busy doing, standing strong. Some words I. Being an Afrikaans boyke, I got the spelling wrong of perseverance in Auntie Google. I like to go see what Auntie Google has to say. What's the explanations for perseverance? And I put in preserve. was like, what? But you know what? I was actually thinking that is what it is. Persevering, keeping, bottling that good stuff and keeping it. Keep on keeping it. Keeping it safe. Don't lose it. Persevere. Push through. So we changed insurance a month or so ago, and the new insurance has got this little thingy you stick in your car, and you've got an app, and it tracks the way you drive. And according to the way you drive, you get points. So it was easy in the beginning. I mean, what did it, 60? Driving 60, I've got quite a big, heavy foot, so it was tough. But I could manage it until now. It was like driving 60. When I drive in town and I see someone else driving 60, I'm like, Discovery Insure. Panther. So now we've been doing so good. We're almost on gold for the month. And I was thinking this week, how long is this going to keep up? How long am I going to keep on driving? We now have to leave very early to be in time for everything. And we're planning a trip to Cape Town next month to the children. I'm going to let Tella drive because the 60 points will be gone before we reach Mossel Bay. Self-control, perseverance, pushing through, keeping on doing the good, keeping on. The steadfast, continued effort to achieve a goal, complete a task, or maintain a course of action, even when faced with difficult setbacks. That's the hard part of perseverance, is that setbacks, when we fail in self-control to pick ourselves up and just push through it again and push through it again. Just try again and again and again. To perseverance, we add godliness, the state or practice of being religiously devout, righteous, and obedient to God's will. reflecting a divine character, being like Him, trying to be like Christ, living. Then we add brotherly kindness, love of the brethren. New word I learned, brethren. Quite cool. The Strong's Dictionary actually refers to brotherly kindness as a fraternal affection, quite a bond between people. Also the relationship between twins, the bond twins have. That closeness is what we should have with one another. So if you want to walk in the light and you want to keep those strings away, we need to bond. We are put here together, not to just fill the seats, but actually to build relationship, to get close to each other. But because in this whole process, we play an important role in each other's lives. We are the guys that, and we're going to see it later, support and carry each other. So brotherly kindness, that special bond. And then lastly, we add love to everything. And this is where I learned a beautiful new word called benevolence. Is that how you pronounce it? Benevolence. The desire to do good and the quality of being kind, charitable, and helpful to others. To love. To genuinely love. Verse 8 says the following: For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing here is increasing measure. So it's an ongoing thing. You're going to keep on increasing. You're going to keep on building into this stuff. These things, none of them has a place where you can say, oh, I've reached it. I'm complete. I can't grow in this anymore. It's an increasing measure. So you're growing and you're growing and you're growing in it every day. If you keep on growing in these things, you will never be ineffective or unproductive in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sure. Isn't that where we all want to be? We want to be effective and productive for the Lord. Huh? Yo, man, that's where I want to be. And to be there and to be able to do that, we need to grow in this every day. Verse 9, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So if you haven't got this stuff, if you're not growing in each of those areas, you're nearsighted. And here's the scary part. You forget that the Lord has set you free. You forget that the strings have been cut. Forget about it. And what happens now? These strings that's been cut, they get mended again. I wanted AI to do us that picture with a few knots in the strings. Because that's how it goes. We forget what the Lord has done for us. We forget that He has set us free. He's cut it. You're free. We forget it because we're not growing in these areas. Yo, scary. Verse 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall and will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yo, you will never fall. if you grow in these areas, you will never fall. You will never fall. Sure, that's quite a strong word Peter is giving here. Actually, quite like a promise for grow in these areas. Do it. Spend time in the Word, and you will never fall. Those lines will never get reattached again. And then, verse 12 to 15, Peter comes and he says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." Oh, isn't it cool? Peter says, "I will always remember you this. I will always remind you of this." It's kind of like Benny reminded us this morning of why do we worship? Peter comes and he reminds us, how do we keep those things gone? Gone forever. Here's the steps. Follow the steps. And this is where we as brothers come into play, reminding each other of these things regularly. Reminding each other. Walking a path with each other. If you bring stuff into the light, we can take your hand and we can walk with you and remind you of what the Lord has for you.